Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 friends. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, greetings to you and yours. This is Holy Living Nutrition, where we discuss Christian-to-Christian hot topics, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Dwayne Brasfield. Now, I'd like to thank everyone who's been supporting me along the way, all my Facebook friends and Twitter friends and all my LinkedIn friends. Thank you for your messages and your kind words. I really appreciate it. And those of you that know me, you know that this is not a politically correct cookie-cutter program. So thick skin is required, but keep an open mind and let's have some healthy discussions, amen? I am excited to have the opportunity to speak to you today and sharing the Word of God. But no matter what I share, always remember it is always rooted in the Bible, the human manual, the foundation that all believers must read and live by. So let's get started. Today we're talking about my testimony. Those of you that have heard me speak in the past know that the testimony is your window of how you reach out to others in that are non-believers. My testimony is no different than anybody else's. Everybody has a story to tell. But people often ask, why do you do what you do, right? Because at a lot of times you do things not based on what you believe especially things you don't feel comfortable with. I mean, who really wants to go up to strangers and talk to them about Jesus Christ, right? Because everybody has their own condemnations about religion and what they believe and what they don't believe. And people say, oh, all these religions lead up to God. Well, it depends on how you look at it, right? I mean, if in fact the Bible is the human manual, the foundation that all believers must read and live by, then in order for you to believe in the Word of God, you have to believe what's in the Word of God, right? And one of the things that's always jumped out at me, even when I was a non-church-going individual, it always was surprising to me that Jesus said, I am the only way. I mean, who would do that, right? I mean, you look at all the other religions, no one ever claimed that they were the only way to God. There's only one person who's ever done that, and that's Jesus Christ. Well, why would you think nobody else would do that? What is the reason? Because Jesus believed it, he knew it, and he knew that was the reason why he came down here to let everybody know that if you want to get to the Father, you must go through me, right? With over years of experience in outreach ministry, I am reaching outside the church to present an evangelism workshop to campus ministries and churches across the nation. Now, with me never attending a church in my life, I actually grew up a Jehovah's Witness. Campus ministry is how the Lord revealed himself to me, and it changed my life forever. I mean, sometimes you may never get but one chance to share the gospel. And a college classmate of mine shared the gospel with me, and sometimes you just don't get to see the fruit. He doesn't know that seed he planted way back when has sprouted up in such a way that not only did I change it changed my life, but it changed my destiny. So my mission now is to plant seeds to increase the kingdom. That's my main focus. Preaching the gospel in our communities can ultimately lead them to a church for our pastors to minister to them. Because I don't consider myself a pastor by no means. An evangelist is where I feel my place is. But when you talk about how do you get to a point where you want to just boldly preach the gospel without fear, well, there's usually a road you have to take, right? I mean, things that just doesn't happen. You have those who may jump in feet first, but a lot of times there's a journey involved, right? Because you can't speak about something you never went through. I mean, in the beginning of my life, when you talk about the hard knocks of poverty and growing up in the inner cities of Chicago, my family didn't go to church. My mom never took us to church. That was never something that was on our plate. So I didn't even have the foundation of any of that. And I remember as a young child, my mom would sell drugs, and she would put drugs in my snowsuit and send me down the street to different people's houses to drop the drugs off. And as a child, you don't know that
that that's bad. I just remember looking back as a young adult thinking, wow, you know. And I remember doing that all the time, having drugs in my snowsuit, and I walk by all the police, and no one's paying attention to me. And I get to their friend's house, and they take the drugs out of my snowsuit and put the money in my snowsuit, and I walk back home. And this happened almost every week. So it's one of those things that when you're living it, you don't realize how destructive that thing is, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things that can scar a person in their life and put them in a position of being lonely and left alone. And I always felt that that was something that kept me guarded. So when I tell you that I didn't like speaking to people or talking to people, it was definitely true for me. But see, God deals with the miraculous, right? You know, Moses said to God, when God said, I'm going to use you, and people don't know this unless you really read the word, but Moses had a stuttering problem. And he said, God, I'm a slow tongue. You can't use me. I can't even talk. You need to use my brother Aaron. And he said, no. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to use you. And so a lot of times I often wonder, God, why do you keep putting this evangelism on my heart? What is it that's causing me to feel as though this is something I should be doing? You know, I mean, I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. You know, I mean, we were so poor. I remember when I was young, I used to sleep in my winter coat and my winter boots because we didn't have heat in the wintertime. I remember having a couch that was downstairs that I would have to pull the couch on top of me just to keep me warm, you know, with no water in our house. Washing up at the school gym every day, trying to get to school early enough so my friends wouldn't know I had to wash myself so I would smell dirty. I mean, these were the things as a child that I went through, not having any food to eat. So I understand when I hear people say, you know, there's a struggle out here. There's people that's out here in the streets and nobody knows their name, right? I didn't go to church. Nobody was knocking on my door to come. So how do you reach those who are in situations that they have no way? Because church was the farthest thing from my mind. You know, you have all these stigmatisms and these things and these young kids are going through today. How do you reach out to them? Who are reaching out to them? I often describe churches as lemonade stands. And this is what I mean by that. You know, we talk about Jesus as being the living water, right? And with him being the living water, right, you come to church to take a drink. And so I equate that to lemonade stands in relations to the fact that we set up these lemonade stands, right, and we sit on our stools and we wait for people to walk by and come to our stands for a drink. But at the end of the day, when are we going to start taking the drink to them? We can no longer just sit back on the bench. Our communities and our world to change. Every time I listen to people, especially in the Christian faith, discuss how our communities are this and our communities are that, the first thing I say is, where are you in the community? What are you doing to make a difference? Right? What are you physically doing to go out and make change? Because it's not about us. It's about the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, growing up with the pains of being a black man in a black man's world, there was a lot of deep scars and anger. I remember back in the day, because of the conditioning of our culture at the time, being a dark-skinned black male was a negative thing in the black community. I remember when we were so conditioned as a race that we would look at light skin as being better because it was closer to being white. And so when you put yourself in that position, being called everything from skillet to tar baby, to this was in the black, I didn't have to worry about the racism from the white folk. I was getting the racism from the black folk. So when you get that growing up as a child, you get angry. And if you have no dad in your life, you have no chance. Why do I say that? Unless you are blessed with a positive male role model in your life, either a stepdad or just a man who has your best interests in heart, it's really tough. I mean, before I even knew about God or whatever, right, the first people came knocking on our door was Jehovah's Witnesses. And the one thing they got my mother with what got her to become a Jehovah's Witness was the fact that they said, where are the Christians at? They're not out here concerned about you. They just want you to come to their church and give them money. This is exactly what they said. And so my mom looked at that opportunity, and when you have something that sounds convincing, regardless how the doctrine may be skewed, if you have people who do not understand what doctrine is, they can be taken in by that. And my mother was. And so in that situation of me going through these changes as a young man with no male role models, no brother to grow up with, right? I didn't find out about my biological brother until he was 18 and I was in eighth grade. So up until that time, there was no one. And my testimony is no different than millions of young men, young black men out there today. I mean, why I disrespected women? Because I didn't respect the women that was around me. I was watching what they were doing. As a young man, you end up what we call this pimp mentality, right? More makes me more of a man, more money, more women, more clothes. It's self-destructing. And I've had enough of life, didn't like school, so I dropped out of high school to find out real quickly that the world doesn't care about your bad decision. And I was so embarrassed from running away from home, I slept in my car for months without anybody even knowing. See, God puts triggers in place to help us, right? And I put myself in a position to be even more self-destructive and going down this road of failure and frustration and anger. And it affected me all the days of my life, having this empty hole in my chest, not understanding what do I need to do to fill that hole. You know, it's funny because I didn't have a dad in my life, but the Cosby Show changed my life and how I looked at myself and the possibilities of me from an educational standpoint. You know, for the first time in my life, I remember looking at the Cosby Show and seeing an image that a lot of us never seen before. You know, black educated people and young kids trying to go to college. And I thought to myself, why couldn't that be me? I'm sitting here now with no high school diploma and nothing, right? But I would watch that show not so much for the comedy, but for the dynamic of that model that it had. And I used that as a springboard. And I said to myself, I can do better than this. You know, running the streets with all my gang-banging buddies and my drug-dealing friends and all my pips and hustlers, right? And I said, I'm going to go cold turkey because I realized that the life I was living was not benefiting me in any way. And inside my heart, there was still a hole of vacancy that I did not know how to fill. So we tend to fill it with things of self-destruction. So I told myself, if nothing else, I'm going to go get my GED. I'm going to go get my GED. So I went and got my GED, and I dedicated myself, did so well, I actually got a scholarship for one class. And in doing that, I started to realize maybe I can be different, right? But see, at this time, I was still a Jehovah's Witness with my mom going house to house in ministry. Show you how God works, right? Learning the craft, learning how they went house to house and how they put themselves in a position to reach out to others, even though they may not have been totally accurate in the Bible. Now I take another look and I go to college, right? And I go to college and I'm listening to this music down the hallway, and I go down the hallway to think it's a school band, and it's this Christian ministry of teenagers the same age as me, selling their lives out for Christ, people on their knees crying with their hands raised, and I'm looking and they're going, what is going on here? But my interest, when I found out it was about them worshiping God, because, see, I didn't do that in the Jehovah's Witness faith. We go, we listen to a sermon, we sing a song out of a book, and we go home. There's no clapping. There's no emotion. And so this was amazing to me that kids were actually selling out for Christ. And this was on a Wednesday night. This was the party night. And they chose to worship God. Then they go out in the clubs and worship Satan. And I was amazed by this. So I would keep going. And eventually, somebody approached me and tried to talk to me about this man called Jesus. Somebody took the time to evangelize and outreach to me, a nobody, nothing, to share this man called Jesus. Wasn't in a church. He wasn't a pastor. But he took the time to share our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Christ revealed himself to me. But see, now I'm a new Christian, and I say to myself, okay, now what, Lord? What is it that you want me to do, God? And I shouted out to him on a Saturday night in my dining room, and I said to him, Father, I know you exist, but do you hear me? Because I'm listening to all these different people telling me about church and all these different denominations, but I can't trust them because I've already come out of a denomination that has not been adequately truthful regarding the Word of God. So I don't know who to believe, Father. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Jehovah's Witnesses were right. Maybe I should go back to them. I need you to tell me, Father, because I want to know who you are, but I'm not sure where to go. And I didn't know, do I stay down this path of Christianity to get to know you, or do I go back to the Jehovah's Witnesses? God, there's one God. I know who you are. I need you to tell me because I'm confused. Now, God reaches his people in different ways. He doesn't always come to you with a audible voice, right? He doesn't always have a big signs and whistles. It can be very subtle. And so for me, he knew he couldn't reach me through man because my heart was already turned off to anything man had to say. This is why you always hear me tell you that everything I tell you is rooted in the Bible, the human manual. My opinion is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Because if what I'm talking is not scripture, I'm wasting your time. At the end of the day, God will reveal himself to anyone who knocks. Because it's not us that changes people's hearts. It's not us that leads people to Christ. We're just a voice box. We're just a vessel that he uses to do so. In saying that, this student who took the chance to do that, right, is this skinny little white kid that chose to come up to me, a perfect stranger. I was playing football at the university at the time. And he thought it was okay to come up and talk to me about God. Now, he could have said, I'm not going to go talk to that big black dude. But he didn't. Because he said to himself, you know what? He might need Jesus. It's a humbling experience. When you have the opportunity to have your Lord, when you knock and he reveals himself to you, this is why Christians do what they do. Because people who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ don't get it. They don't see him. They're spiritually blind. Satan has put a veil over their eyes to keep them from the Lord because they have not knocked. That's all the Lord is waiting for, you to reach out to him. He gives us a free will. He does not want to force himself on you. And don't think just because you know who God is or you believe in him that that's enough. You know, Satan believes in God. Satan believes God exists. The demons that all fell from heaven with a wave of God's hand know God exists. So just because you know he exists and you somehow think that's some free ride to heaven, you're fooling yourself because it's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. As a young man, I screamed out to God, do I matter to you? I need to know. And the very next day, that Sunday, I went to church. This is probably my second time in a church. And I'm sitting there watching everybody worshiping, and I'm trying to sing along, and this little old lady comes up to me on my right to get in, and I'm thinking she wants to get in to have a seat in the middle, so I step out into the aisle, and she says to me, sorry, sir, I don't mean to bother you. But as I'm staring at you, the Lord put it on my heart to write, who is this heart?
to write something down. I don't know what it means to me, but it might mean something to you. And I was going to wait to end the church, but I'm being led to tell you now. I'm being led by the Holy Spirit for me to come and tell you now. And here's the piece of paper. She wrote it on the back of the one of the programs. And I'm sitting here reading this, and it says, "I've always seen you, my son. Keep moving forward. Ooh. And don't look back. How is it that this woman I've never met knew exactly what I needed to hear at a time where I prayed to him yesterday? Nobody was in the house but me. Nobody could have known what I asked God. And when that happened, I couldn't believe it. I went home and cried. I thought to myself, he cared enough about saving me that if he had to talk to me directly, he would, so he wouldn't lose one of us. And so now I'm radical, right? I'm like, okay, I'm doing the right thing. I'm going to tell everybody about this man called Jesus because now I'm on fire. My Lord took the time to tell me I mattered. So now I'm going to tell everybody about Jesus because I don't want anybody out there to miss him like I could have missed him if this gentleman didn't come up to me and share the gospel. It wasn't by a pastor. It wasn't by a church. It was about a Christian who made a decision that I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to share the gospel. But see, just sharing the gospel, being a Christian, is not the end of it, because at the end of the day, you still got to get saved. You still got to believe that Jesus is who he said he was. And so the more you read the word and the more I cultivated it, I was going to different churches, right, trying to figure out, okay, what denomination should I be in, because that's my next step. And when I was going to these different denominations, I didn't see anybody doing any outreach in the community. And it surprised me. It stumbled me, coming from a Jehovah's Witness background. I was actually shocked that none of these churches were taking the opportunity to go out and preach the gospel door to door. Yeah, you had your one or two folks that would get involved, but I'm talking about as a structural church. How is that not a part of the foundation, the structure of what you do? It goes back to we just making lemonade stands. We have lemonade stands that are big and fancy, and we have lemonade stands that are small. But at the end of the day, if you're not going out into the community and preaching the gospel, you just have a lemonade stand. So I got irritated and sad, and I stopped going to church because I kept thinking these people are a bunch of phony hypocrites living in their perfect fake world. You know, Christ went seeking the lost, not avoiding them. So in 2007, as my fiance at the time and I were on our way to an Easter service in the city, you know, you go to church on Christmas and Easter, and I started getting into that routine because I started falling away from the faith. I just did not see from a Christian standpoint where the fruit was. And I was more consumed with the relationship with religion than I was with the relationship with God. And so let me show you how God works. In 2007, I'm meeting my wife. I was not really in the church at that time. I still believed in God, but I wasn't really a part of the Christian body and doing the things I should be doing. I mean, I was out still smoking weed and drinking Hennessy and kicking it and partying, and I totally just started drifting. And one day my fiance says to me, she started asking me questions about the Bible. And with all the teaching and reading I've done, but it was all based on religious tradition that I was gaining when I was first introduced to church. And so we started to go to this church up the street for Easter. We figured, let's just go. How bad can it be if it's Easter, right? The story can't be that messed up. And I went in there, and for the first time, I heard a pastor talk about a personal relationship with Christ versus a religious experience. And I realized that up until that point, the religious experience is what stumbled me, because I let it be about the people in the church and not about God. I let it be about the denominations and how they can't seem to get it together. That's why so many of them are not about God. And then I started to realize if it's all about him, it doesn't matter what the denomination is. It's about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And it changed my world. I remember looking outside my window. This was right around Halloween, and all the families that was going to people's houses for candy. And another day, I remember watching all these people signing up to vote, knocking on your doors, trying to get you to come out and vote. And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be nice if Christians would be that eager to flood the streets, going house to house, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can go knock on strangers' houses for candy. We can go knock on strangers' houses for Girl Scout cookies. But when it comes to the destiny of our soul, we shrivel up. We put our tail between our legs, and we go sit in the corner. See, in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37, Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." It's about planting seeds along the way, going from a fan of Christ to a follower. See, I was a fan of Christ for a long time. See, I believed in Christ. I had the cross around my neck. I even had a tattooed on my arm. I walked around with my Bible. I went to church when I needed to, but at the end of the day, I didn't know him. I didn't know him personally. Jesus said there's going to be a lot of people that say, "Lord, Lord." He's going to say, "I never knew you." A lot of people are going to say, "But I went to church. I did all these things. I was on outreach. I went down and fed the homeless, and I helped, and I was an usher, and I did all these things for the church." And God's going to say, "But where was the personal time between me and you? Did you run after me with your life? Did you put yourself in a position that me and you were in fellowship?" People are afraid to share the gospel because they make it about themselves, about what their fear is. They don't understand that you cannot miss an opportunity to share the gospel. When I realized it was not about me, but about him, my fear of sharing the gospel went away. See, the Holy Spirit intervenes and directs us what to say. The Bible says that it's the Holy Spirit speaking anyway. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." And listen to this. "Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." In Psalms chapter 32, verse 8, it says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." Matthew chapter 10, it says, "Do not worry about what to say and how to say it. At the time, you will be given what to say." So you just have to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to tell you what to say. Trust me, it works, because it works with me all the time. People say, "Oh, you're so good at speaking to people house to house," and I'm clearly correct them and say, "It's not me. It's just I start talking to people about God, and all of a sudden, scriptures start coming in my head." Do not worry beforehand in Mark chapter 13. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Let me read that again. Mark chapter 13, verse 11 says, "Do not worry beforehand what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit." If people took the time to understand what that scripture really means, we wouldn't have a problem. The harvest means faithful people. The harvest means speaking of God with confidence. In closing, at the end of the day, you know God wants us to be successful. He desires us to dethrone ourselves from the center of our lives and focus on him so we can be successful in everything we do. God bless. I'm Dwayne Brassfield. Until next time.
Your baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy would come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Blind man, Mary, did you know that your baby